Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. Welcome to the build-up show. Liverpool's Premier League campaign is about to get back underway for the new season. I'm Paul Machin, Andy Bell, Dan Club, join me for this one. And I want to take this moment, first and foremost, to welcome everyone on Twitter. If you want to watch this full show, then head over to the YouTube channel or you can get it in your podcast apps and whatever after the fact. But it was put to us that we've taken Uncensored out of it. Is it now mean it's the Censored build-up show? No, literally the agenda title is still the Umbu agenda. I've been calling it the build-up show in my head for about 3 years now, and then we finally changed the graphics because we want people to think it was off-putting, you know. But we can still say shit, it's fine. And we will do, I'm certain of it, because we're going to be talking about I'm not going to make a rock me back too early just yet. Right, Dan, the big 50p's won. The real stuff starts here. How are you feeling? Are you excited?
Oh yeah, I'm buzzing, absolutely buzzing now. I was saying to Andy on the way up, I was like, last season was really draining. We spoke about it numerous times during the season, let alone after the fact. But last season really took it out of me and probably a lot of other Liverpool fans. So the break was a welcome one. Charity Shield last week, Community Shield, great, nice to get it in the bag, made up we won, but this is it now. This week I've been buzzing, and yeah, I just can't wait to get going.
I think just the Community Shield just was a nice appetite wetter, really, wasn't it? And it could have got the complete opposite impact. And speaking to Steve McInerney from Steve and Company this week, he was saying like City fans are all in meltdown off the back of it, which is great to hear. Makes me even more happy and excited for the season. But that's it. It's all been a bit too short. It was absolutely exhausting at times last season, but it's back now.
Yeah, I think with the Community Shield, it's a little bit of a weird one. And obviously, I massively subscribe to the Charity Shield rules of if you win it, it's brilliant, yeah. It's a trophy, it counts. And if you don't, it doesn't matter at all. Yeah. But I think that was kind of a unique game in many ways. First of all, because it's Liverpool, Man City, and it's, in my opinion, the two best teams in the world. But also, you know, say, I think a couple of years ago we lost to Arsenal, I think it was in the COVID season, and it was a little bit like, okay, well, it's disappointing, it would be nice to get it, but we always knew Arsenal weren't going to challenge us that season. You know, if it was any other team, we knew they're not going to challenge us next season, so it wouldn't have mattered as much. Yep. Because we've got one over in Man City, you know, two full teams out there, I think that matters, and I think it'll get in their head, and certainly Pep's head a little bit. And I think it's almost like, I think I heard somebody use the analogy, we've won the toss, you know, before we go out. It's no points, it's not worth any points, but just mentally, just to get that one over on them, I think is really good. I'm really, really excited for the new season. Like, I'm always like a kid at Christmas. I know that's a cliche, but I always am. And I'll remember back to getting like far too excited over pretty dreadful Liverpool teams going into the first days of the season. Like, I was convinced Roy Hodgson was the one when David and God put us 1-0 up against Arsenal. I remember Luis Suarez scored the first goal of the 3 PMs one Saturday, and I completely unironically ran to my dad and told him we were top of the league and got really excited about it. And, you know, as a football fan, you want that excitement and you want to dream big, and there's no fun in realism whatsoever. But now we've actually got a team that we can actually get excited about, and we're correct to get excited about, and, you know, can go, and the depth of the squad that we have, we can compete in all fronts again.
This is it, isn't it? This is the time for optimism. Everyone's optimistic about this time of the season. If you're not, like, there's fans of football clubs who are going to be nailed on in relegation fights this year, Dan, and they're buzzing for the season. Yeah. And we should be too. And, you know, everything else gets part. It's a shame almost that, you know, we've got a month more of sort of like probably pointless transfer speculation to follow, but it kind of is what it is. Liverpool have done the business, they've got what they've got. If anything else happens, it happens. But I'm just feeling good about it. And I think, again, the Charity Shield helped in a big way. Nunes getting underway, Carvalho having a hand in all that as well. Yeah. there's just no reason not to be optimistic, because you know you can have the Mane debate till the cows come home. He's gone. Liverpool have replaced him. Liverpool replaced him before he left.
Yes.
To be perfectly honest with Diaz, there's no way Liverpool don't have another. It's far more likely Liverpool have another excellent season than anything else.
100%. Yeah, and I certainly hope that's the case. Obviously, but there's no reason to be, you know, pessimistic whatsoever about this up-and-coming season from a Liverpool perspective, but every team up and down the land will have hopes and dreams for this season, because that's how a football season should start. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong with you inherently as a football fan. I think for us, the Charity Shield last week was a little like an appetizer, like you said earlier, and it did feel slightly significant in the fact that there was a little bit of, oh, Mane's gone, how are we going to cope? But that's all pretty much been put to bed with one game of football against our arch rivals, essentially, right now. We've put all that to bed now. Yeah. We can just look forward with optimism about what's to come. And if it means challenging all four again, then strap yourselves in, because it's going to be another one of them seasons. But yeah, I think everything does just look ripe to go again. And hopefully City are in a little bit of turmoil as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that one. We'll talk more about Liverpool and their options and what they're likely to do later on in the show. But let's talk a bit about Fulham. Marco Silva, back on Mid, oh, well, he'll be back on Mid when we play him next time, but you know, as well known on Mid, well known on Mid, sharpest times ever, manager. They pissed the championship, but I mean, it doesn't quite show because of how it all kind of ended. But it was, you know, Bournemouth had a good season as well, of course. He's got 106 goals last season, which is insane, and that's going to be the interesting thing for them, because last season you'd be going, well, they've got everything you need to come up and continue to fight. We've taken Carvalho off them. They opted not to keep Nico Williams. It was a real benefit for them in the back end of the season. I don't really know how to rate them, but I guess the Mitrovic thing's going to be telling for this. What do we reckon? How are you feeling about Fulham?
It's difficult because I think Fulham are maybe slightly unfairly thrown into that bracket. Well, not unfairly, because the stats don't lie. You know, they come up every season and go back down. And the same with Norwich. And actually, how do we look this morning? The last time Fulham and Norwich played each other was 2018, which is mad. You know,
crossing so, on the stairs.
Literally, yeah, like hand over the keys to the taxi man for the night shift. Literally like that. But this is actually the first time they've come up having won the league. The last two times they came up, they were in the playoffs. I was under the impression that Scott Parker played like a really exciting brand of football, but then I sort of read up on it. Apparently it was really dull and insipid and really bad. Whereas Marco Silva actually is coming up, and as you can see with the goal scored last season, playing a really, really exciting brand of football, 4-3-3, attacking, playing out from the back. And that 106 goals was 32 more than any other team in the championship last year, which is wild. That's a third of the goals.
Yeah.
You know, that's a crazy, crazy statistic. And with Mitrovic possibly unfairly put into the bracket of the likes of Dwight Gayle and David Nugent, who too good for the championship but not good enough for the premiership. And I think because he's been around the English game for so long, people forget he's only 27.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time he came up with Fulham, he got double figures, scored 11 goals. Scott Parker didn't fancy him last time, but he absolutely smashed that championship record for a number of goals scored. So he's that type of player, can occupy defences. My only concern for them is obviously the loss of Carvalho. There was only two other players that broke double figures in goals last season. One was Carvalho and one was Harry Wilson, who's injured for this game, I believe.
Yep.
So I'll worry about where the other goals are going to come from. If people recognise Mitrovic as that threat, you know, can you just sort of deal with him and then everything else falls into place?
It's interesting. I got his goal scoring record up for his career, Dan. You know, 125 championship appearances, 85 goals and 16 assists. In the Premier League, though, it's 104 appearances and just 24 goals.
Yeah.
And you know, that's going to be the challenge this season. That's what you never know, because is he in that bracket of, you know, countless? Is he the next Cameron Jerome? Or is he actually ready now at 27 in the prime of his career to carry on? Why I'm concerned about him is that you always find, I think anyway, and this might just be like kind of like this confirmation bias somewhere on the line that asserted this for me, when strikers are red hot in the championship, they tend to carry that into the first few games of the Premier League as well, mm-hmm. before that like look or magic wears off a bit, they start to toil. Exactly. You know, Clive Mendonca from back in the day was exactly like this, you know, and he's probably the reason why I still think it, but that's where we need to be a little bit wary. And he hasn't quite, you know, he's got an opportunity to hit the ground running against Liverpool.
Of course he has, and there's no better stage for him to do it as well, at home against a side like Liverpool coming to town. Like, it's all there for him. Yeah. The problem is he has had genuine issues coming up to the Premier League previously. You've just outlined the stats there, and they're not just like the numbers. His performances have been way off it as well. He has been a cut above the rest in the Championship and way below it in the Premier League so far. So it doesn't necessarily concern me, and I think the key point around that is the players that he's lost around him. Like we mentioned Nico Williams, we mentioned Fabio Carvalho and Harry Wilson out there. Three big losses to what he did, particularly in the back half of last season. So from our perspective, he doesn't really worry me. Particularly when you factor in that he has struggled in the Premier League and he's also starting with what is essentially the end boss of centre-halves in terms of Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. Like, it couldn't be any harder. He may well score goals this time around in the Premier League. That might well be coming of age season for him, sure. Even though it probably should have happened before now, if we're going to be honest. I just don't see it being this weekend. There's always a little bit of concern coming up against any Premier League striker, especially one that's scored 40-odd goals in a season. But doesn't worry me.
43-43.
Scary.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, like, yeah. Genuinely ridiculous.
A really good record for Serbia as well on the international stage, yes. Playing against teams that are probably Premier League quality. So he can do it against that level of team.
Let's have a look at Fulham's injuries then. And you both mentioned it several times, and this will tie into something that we're about to do in a minute. But Joe Bryan, apparently potential return to the 13th of the 8th. Nathaniel Chalabar currently being assessed 50-50 chance. And Harry Wilson, no return date given at the moment. The most recent quote was on the 31st July saying, let's see how things go, but it doesn't look like good news in that situation. So for our medical staff to give more information, let's hope it will not be so serious, but it doesn't look good really. So Harry Wilson almost certainly will definitely miss the game at the weekend, which is a blow for us because obviously we've got a soft spot for Harry, and moreover because I picked him in my team for something we're about to cover. We have got a brand new season and we've got a brand new sponsor. Betmate are with us throughout all the Premier League games this season. Really, really fun game that you can get involved in. You can download the app and it combines a lot of like picking a weekly fantasy football team. The interesting twist on this is that you pick the games. So you enter the pot and you're only picking from one game. So there's you're basically picking for your five-a-side team or your team that you're picking. You can pick all but one in the starting 11 can be Liverpool players, and then it's about basically your knowledge beyond that. So where I've gone wrong, I'm just going to admit this straight out the bat, is I have put Harry Wilson in my team. Now, the beauty of this is you can make changes up until 5 minutes before the game kicks off. So I've got a little bit of breathing room on this. So I will be taking Harry Wilson out of my team. But yeah, I have gone for Alisson, Trent, Robertson, Thiago, Harry Wilson, Mohamed Salah and Roberto Firmino in my team. You get extra bonus points for Salah being the captain, and for the vice captaincy, it's like 1.5 will be for Trent. But we'll do a little bit more on that in a little bit later on in the show. I want to just highlight, we had a practice go last week. Chris is currently on holiday. Stay is currently running around trying to sort all manner of back of house problems because we're updating our payment profile system on the back of the website. So he is currently running around doing all of that. But I believe we've got the league table. So yes, we had a little practice go just to get a feel for things. And yes, as you can see there, in seventh place on the Charity Shield pot was Redmen Paul, pulling in 52 points. Taking out, I took home a massive £9 for that. Payjack finished half a point basically below me, so that means he's obviously significantly worse than I am. And just want to assess, Tom asked me the question, it's like, has Steve got a different name on that? Oh no, Steve has got his name on that. You will find Steve, you just won't find him near the top of the table. You will have to significantly scroll down there to find how Steve got on. Right, we're going to be picking, the lads are going to be picking their team for this week a little bit later on in the show. Before we crack on with it though, Betmate have been very good. They've put up a Liverpool shirt as a competition. We've been running that on Twitter all week. So yeah, we're going to announce the winner any second now. So let's find out who has in fact won the Liverpool shirt. Can we have a drum roll, please? Ooh. Hey, it is Neil Evans. Congratulations, Neil. We'll be getting in touch and sending out that Liverpool shirt to you. Brilliant. Well done. Well done indeed. And yeah, as mentioned, of course, you can get out. If you want to get on with it now, the link will be in the description underneath, but we'll give you a little bit more details and we'll go through the selection process later on before we pick the our 11s as well for what we think the game is going to be. Right. Injuries. It's a significant list, Dan. obviously Jürgen's going to be doing his press conference Friday at 11, apparently. There's a lot of hope that Alisson should be back. That was what was being told ahead of the Charity Shield. Mm-hmm. He'd been in training, which I think, you know, we did the build-up show for that, and then we found out there was a photo of him training. We were like, oh, that means he's back in. He obviously wasn't. They're obviously being careful with him. Jota's likely to be at least for the rest of the month, you'd suspect, before he's close to even being match fit. Tsimikas is a doubt. Ox is definitely going to be out. Still no word on Calvin Ramsey. So Kurt Jones looks like he's going to be out for this one, and there's obviously concerns over Konate. Hopefully Keita will be back in. I mean, Alisson's is a big one here, isn't he? I thought Adrian performed admirably in the Community Shield, to be honest. So if we had to start him, it'll be what it'll be. I don't know whether you take it. I just don't think we can afford to take any risks on Alisson, is my concern here. Because you can cope, I think we can cope with Adrian with another game. But if you put Alisson in and he's not right, and then you lose him for a month, I'd rather one more Adrian game than a month of Adrian games.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'll bite your hand off right now. But I feel this might be my positive demeanour. I feel like Alisson would have been a risk last week for the Charity Shield, and that risk is all gone now. That's the kind of message I got from Klopp on that. That's the kind of feeling I got from what he was saying. Again, that might be wishful thinking. But yeah, you are right. If there is any doubt whatsoever around Alisson, you leave him out of this, because you probably can just about get away with another. You'd rather it was Kelleher, quite clearly, but he's obviously not ready either. So yeah, I do think this would be a game to not take risks for any of those aforementioned people. Like you say, some of them are completely not involved. Jota, Oxlade-Chamberlain, unfortunately. Naby Keita's another one. Wasn't involved in that Strasbourg game, was he, when he perhaps could have been, and Curtis Jones the same. So any risk, you just don't go for it, because it's such a long season and there's so many challenges ahead. You can't afford. I mean, the year we won the league, we had Alisson in goal, didn't we, for the Norwich game, and he gets injured and we miss him for a month. We don't want a repeat of that, essentially.
Exactly. And look, I think people have got made their opinion of Adrian, and it's fair. I think we know what he is as a goalkeeper at this point, don't we, Andy? He's a more than capable pair of hands to come in as a third choice goalie. If we have to do it, fine. Hopefully it's just a non-conversation, because if Alisson's fit, then look, he's just going to come in and go back to the business of being the best goalie in the world.
Yeah, and Alisson and Kelleher both quietly miss quite a chunk of some seasons, to be honest. I don't think there's been a season Alisson's been here yet where he hasn't missed, you know, five or six games at least in a row at some point. And I think that's why Liverpool place so much emphasis on the third choice keeper, because if you go back to the last year when we were really actually struggling to fill the homegrown quota of the players, and we thought we maybe have to sell like Origi or Minamino or somebody, just or get, you know, another homegrown player in, we actually gave Adrian a new contract as a third choice keeper. He was going to take up a new spot. Now there was a lot of, you know, there was a very fair argument to say shift him on, we'll be fine, and fill it, and, you know, leave a spot for a homegrown player. So I think it's clear that the impact, he's a big personality, he has around the dressing room as well, and all the players seem to like him. That said, I think you're right, he was respectable in the Charity Shield, but there were a couple of times when you watch it back where he's pumped a ball up the field or pumped a ball into touch when there's maybe a pass just into Fabinho, and Virgil and Matip were getting quite wound up by him.
The problem he's got is that it is a pass, because we're used to playing that Alisson, and we're used to seeing that Alisson can make those passes, whereas the vast majority of goals on the...
Exactly.
Yeah. So it does skew our perspective on him to some extent. That's not to say I'm not giving Adrian a free pass or anything here, because it's not just that his kicking's not great, it's that he makes poor decisions, I think, with his kicking sometimes. I've got no problem, he boots it into touch. I'd rather kick it into touch than kick it straight to someone in a dangerous position, which we've seen in the past, certainly. We've had a few super chats, actually, trying to get before we go into some of the other big decisions around things. Josh Green in the comments here with £5. Thank you, Josh. Saying Jones out for up to 4 weeks, Ox out for a few months. Yeah. Do we now need to consider signing a new midfielder, especially with Keita's injury record? I mean, the problem we've got is that this Liverpool need a new midfield. I think is literally the only conversation that's left about the squad. And in terms of, generally speaking, in terms of bodies, Liverpool don't. We had this time last year, we had this exact conversation, and it was the same thing. It was Milner's getting on. It was, as people were saying, Thiago's injury record, and people were talking still about Keita's injury record, and then a few bits and pieces. Harvey Elliott started the season, looked really good. Then he got injured, and we were a little short at times in midfield, but I don't know. I don't think Liverpool will ever change their transfer strategy because some lads get injured, unless they get wiped out completely, I think the plan's the plan. I don't think anything's going to change that plan.
We nearly did it when we got wiped out completely. It took long enough in that January, didn't it? It took the Joel Matip injury to finally...
But even then, our solution to the problem was
very low-key, exactly. Wasn't it? Yeah, 100%. And I think the midfield conversation that somebody's essentially started up, that is a fair one. I genuinely do. I think it has validity. I think it's a fair point. I agree. I don't think we will do anything. I don't think these injuries are going to change it. But if we did turn around and say, listen, we're one too many injuries over our threshold, if you like, with the Oxlade-Chamberlain one, because that's months, isn't it, like you said, as opposed to weeks. Yeah. There is an argument to say that we do need to go and do something now, but I don't see it happening.
No, I think as well, as you very correctly mentioned, Liverpool's transfer strategy there, Liverpool aren't going to change that, and there's always going to be shortcomings somewhere in the squad. Not shortcomings, but somewhere we had to make a little bit of a trade-off. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, you know, for years it was in the front three. We were relying on keeping the front three fit all the time. You know, this year it's going to be in midfield. But you actually look at some of the options we have there. We're not short in options. It's just a case of whether these options, you know, if a player's out for 6 weeks, can... Is Curtis Jones at the level where he can come in and six wins straight away like the rest of them do? I think he is, but there'll just be some trade-offs in that midfield. And in terms of how we play, as much as, you know, personnel, I think when Curtis Jones plays, he's got a little bit of stick recently, but I think, you know, at times he does that sort of genie safe role quite well. And I actually think he links up very well with Robertson on that left-hand side, for instance. So, you know, there's certain things like that and that'll be changed around. And I think we've got enough bodies in there. We know Klopp trusts Elliott. He played him three to four games last season before he was injured. Carvalho played a little bit in midfield, and I can see him playing more centrally, certainly, than on the wings. He doesn't really have that searing pace that we're used to from Liverpool wingers. So there's options there, and I think he'll trust some of those younger options more than maybe some supporters do.
That's it. Cavalli's a bit of an X factor in this, and Harvey Elliott as well. We don't quite know just how much they're going to be trusted to play in midfield for Liverpool, but I would still look at it and say, and people can, a lot of it boils down to personal opinion on the individual footballers as much as anything else, because no one, there's not a single human being on earth who could argue against that Jude Bellingham would get in Liverpool's team, would play games, and would help improve Liverpool's squad, and almost certainly 11, but certainly without a shadow of a doubt the squad. But when you look at it even now, let's say presumably Kate is fit for the weekend, there's still best choice midfield three, still doesn't have him in it, so it's still Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago. Kate is still fourth choice in that. Elliot's probably fifth choice. Then you're looking at the moment, you're still then Milner and potentially Carvalho are options to come in there, and then Bajetic would probably be underneath that. And then when Jones and Ox are fit, they boost up the pecking order a little bit further. It's probably like saying I bought the Ferrari, I could just really do with, I don't know, is the leather of the seat supple enough? You know what I mean? Could I have gotten a different type of leather for the seat? It's not, everything else is pretty good. I could probably live with
subscriptions going well, aren't they, in that Ferrari?
We've got Beth and McCart with the £2 super chat saying, so excited for the season and watch alongs, let's go. Yeah, it's me and Steve in the studio for the watch along on Saturday with Chris Arnoldi, and YWA 1988 is our Redmen TV doing a FPL league. I believe we are, if you were in it last year, it should be renewed, and if not, I think Ross will probably put the details out on Twitter or whatever, so yeah, stay tuned for all that. We mentioned them there, Andy Harvey, Harvey Elliott, Carvalho. They're both going to be, I think, given their all, beyond the norm, I think, in training this week to get an opportunity to play against the former team. I don't see that we're necessarily going to unleash, I don't think we'll unleash both of them, but, I mean, first game of the season, Oxlade-Chamberlain starts in midfield away at Norwich and Harvey comes into the game. Yeah. The second game of the season, Harvey starts and then he plays, and then the game after that. This could be well worth an opportunity to see, just to mix things up a little bit and maybe drop Elliott into midfield, potentially.
It's entirely possible, and I've obviously started to read Pep Linder's book, and by the way, I'm going to reference that on every single show. I'm only two chapters in, but luckily one of those was actually the Norwich game, which he referenced there, and he talks about the fact that he had a conversation with Klopp before that game and basically said he wanted to favour the guys who were in pre-season right from the start.
Yeah.
Now we know that they've only had, I think, 4 weeks of pre-season, and I think he mentions that he usually likes six, and he thinks that basically if the powers that be want the quality of football to be at a maximum and the spectacle tactical to be as good as it can be with these top teams. You know, you need that sort of 6 week preseason. We obviously know we haven't got that, but there were some players who were on international duty in that quadruple header in June and maybe came back a little bit later, so that may tie into it. In terms of the way Fulham actually play, I can't see anything other than Henderson starting on that right hand side of midfield. I think if you look at our probably strongest team, the three question marks are over who plays next to Van Dijk, who plays on the right hand side of midfield, and who plays up front at the minute. I think that will be Nunez as the season goes on. But the way sort of Fulham play, they like to get the ball wide, and I think Henderson's probably our best midfielder at shuttling over and getting back in and sort of blocking off passing lanes there. So I'd be surprised if it isn't Henderson who starts the season. I don't think he or does he play one or two games for England, or was he injured? I think he might have been injured at the time. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't think he plays.
So you know he'll be fit and firing. He's had the full preseason insofar as Liverpool have had one. So I think it'll be the what I see as our best midfield in Fabinho, Thiago, and Henderson.
Yeah, I mean the exciting thing is there is that opportunity there, and it depends. I think a lot of it is on what Klopp's mentality around Fabinho and Henderson and Thiago actually, because they're not going to play two games a week, but we're not playing two games a week at the moment. We're playing one game a week for the first month of the season. But there will come a point, and we saw this once he was able to do it when we had the numbers at post AFCON. You saw Fabinho and Henderson rotated a little bit more, so Henderson will play a few more games this season in the six, I think. And it'll give that gives Fabinho his rest as much as anything else. It's just whether they want to go with that for now, and it will depend on how they feel Fulham is going to set up, because if they think the challenge is from minute one, we've got to break Fulham down. Actually wouldn't shock me if we went attacking from minute one, but I think this is a game where we want to get in, we're going to control the ball, we just want to be totally, we're going to need to rest control back of the game and shut them down. Then you would go with Henderson.
Yeah, 100%. That's the way I see it, to be honest. Exactly how he outlined it there, really. I think, like Andy says as well, I think Fulham will want to play their natural game from the outset, because they just absolutely blitzed the Championship. They've obliterated it. So they're not going to want to change their entire style just because they're now in the Premier League. Yeah. They might have to over time, because playing the type of football they want to play against Liverpool is really difficult, let's be honest. But I do think for sort of the first half an hour, even an hour maybe, they'll try and play the way they play. Once that eventually or almost definitely fails, then they might have to change straight away in the game. But I do think from the start for us, I think we'd be advised to go with Henderson, because I think like the energy he offers, the drive he offers us, like you say, the ability to get out wide and cut off lanes, which Harvey Elliott hasn't quite got yet. He's got lots of brilliant attributes, but a lot of them come from when we're dominating games and we're on the ball and he can make things happen. That's where he tends to thrive. So
even Thiago doesn't do it as well on the left-hand side sometimes. I mean, there's certain things Thiago does that Henderson can't even come close to in terms of technical 100%. Ability. But in terms of shuffling over and cutting off those sort of half spaces, I think Henderson was brilliant at it against City, whereas Thiago was a little bit later getting in sometimes. But then, as I say, he makes up for it massively.
Yeah, 100%. And I actually think in the Pep book, he's been talking about Naby Keita as a real substitute option, like a real weapon off the bench. I wonder, it's something we've seen anyway. You know, he doesn't always start games for guards. I wonder if we'll see even more substitute appearances from him, because it's obviously something he does well. And we've got five as well.
I think that's what I wanted to segue into, actually. So well done. Perfect. Five subs. You know, first real chance to see what we're going to do with this. You know, we've obviously it's been around in the past. We've seen it in European competition. But now that we're getting back to more normality of football again, how is Klopp going to use this? Inevitably, we're waiting on, only used two substitutes. Why did he want five when he's only used two in a game? Fucking hell. Gabby Agbonalor is going to be all over that, or Genus, or
Alan Brazil's face is going to be pure purple when he's talking about Alec, isn't he?
God, absolutely. But it is funny, because I doing the overlap on it, I think it was the Forest fan on there made mention of like how hard it is with five subs. Like he said, it as a negative thing, whereas I'm just buzzing for it. I think it's great, and what it potentially does for us is for players like Harvey, like Fabio Carvalho, like Curtis Jones, even like then you get into more senior players, but fringe players of Costa, Tsimikas, even Joe Gomez, etc. There's just more minutes in potential for them, because what we found is Klopp, you know, he not like he used all of his three subs every week, because he doesn't want to ever leave himself exposed to having used all your subs and then needing an extra body in the closing stages of a game. So what you might find is our average number of subs only goes up by one. So maybe we are on average use three substitutes a game now, 3.5 or something, that still leaves you, that fifth sub is just your break glass in case the worst of the worst happens. But I think hopefully we've got the squad there, that Liverpool, what it means for us is we can just continue to be relentless for 90 minutes. And this makes us more Man City-like in that regard of, I want to see Liverpool run up some goals this season, is what I'm driving at.
Yeah, and look, in two of the last three seasons, or two of the last four seasons, I think, Liverpool and Man City have been separated by a point. There's no reason why that can't be level in points next season, and goal difference will come into it. And for a while, with about 10 games to go, you know, we were, I think, four goals ahead of City, and then to beat like Leeds 7-0. And we're starting to think about that. There's no reason why that couldn't come into play. I do think that the five sub thing, Klopp and Pep Lenders will see it more as a rotation and giving players rest, and especially in a World Cup year. I know we've a couple of players not going, and that's going to be great for us. I think it's going to benefit us loads. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to see it as more, because I remember like the first season when Tsimikas came in, the COVID season, you know, he would bring Robertson off for 5 minutes at the end and give Tsimikas 5 minutes. And for me, that's not just, you know, give the new player a little run out and give him the experience. I think that was more actually, those 5 minutes are crucial at that level with these fine margins.
To protect
those Robertson. Little minutes and the if you can give somebody 10 minutes off or 5 minutes off here and there, that actually makes a massive impact over the course of a season. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of that. Maybe that'll be more the case, as you say, when the midweek games start coming thick and fast, as they will. You know, for the first 4 months of this, or for the first month of the season, first four games we are, I've just got the game at the weekend, and we can maybe use it as more of an impact thing. And there's going to be fume over that, by the way, if we bring on five subs and all, you know, win a game in the last 10 minutes. But I think you look at some of the players who can make an impact this weekend. Certainly Nunes, if he doesn't start, will come off the bench. He'll have an impact. Naby Keita, you mentioned, there was a thing in the Liverpool website, is dribbling past tired legs can be a big impact for Liverpool. And I think Elliot and Carvalho as well, as you say, will be keen to come on. And even if it's 2-0 or 3-0 up by that point, they'll want to come on and make an impact and make their mark on their former club.
Yeah, I think too, when we brought Jota in, and you know, Liverpool are doing really well in the game, and then Jota comes on for Mane, and instead of us going, "Oh, right, we're a bit tired, and we're gonna just, you know, shut it down," you can either stay in the same gear, or you can go up a gear if you want to, and that's hopefully, and it'll be a little bit more prevalent when Jota's back in, certainly. Yeah. And obviously having Curtis available will help that as well. But yeah, that's what excites me about this, is that we've got the potential there to really go. The other thing that I think factors into selection is we reportedly got a behind closed doors friendly game on Sunday against Villa, which again says to me it'd be very similar to what we saw against Strasbourg at the weekend, which ended up being a really weak side, but largely because of, I think, a few senior players not available. But I wonder how much of that factors into and how we have to think about our team selection here, because he's still pre-season, to the point we're still 2 weeks short of pre-season. Liverpool are still trying to get all of their lads up. Charity Shield was the first like 90 minutes for a lot of, pretty much for everyone, wasn't it, you know, who got it. So we might not see drastic rotation in this week and probably even next week, because the mission is to get the results while still getting everyone's fitness up to full.
Yeah, 100%. There's still an element of that, and I think it will factor into what we do this weekend, and it might even mean that Harvey Elliott is even less likely to start, because he played 90 minutes in that Strasbourg game that you mentioned, which might not have been the plan originally. I was on the watch along here with Steve on it, and we essentially said that when this was arranged, it was arranged with far more senior players in mind being available. Your Oxlade-Chamberlain, your Curtis Joneses of this world, and none of them were there. So it meant Harvey Elliott had a really good game, actually, but it meant he had to do 90 minutes when he probably shouldn't have done. So it's definitely going to play a part in what happens, and like you say, it might also play a part in what happens in the changes we make, even, because you might leave, like, if the game's won, let's just say, for argument's sake, you might leave a couple of lads on the bench that you might have brought on in different circumstances, go, you can play tomorrow, you get 90 minutes against Villa tomorrow, that'll set you up for what's to come.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting about it though is the Strasbourg game was locked in, they sold tickets for it. You know, even if they'd wanted to, they couldn't pull that game from the fixtures. They only added this one the other week. So they obviously see a real benefit to it. There's obviously a clear plan in place, but obviously we're not privy to that as such, because
they did it last season as well. They actually played a game after Norwich the day after, you know, so it's clearly something they look at. You know, for me, I even on that Strasbourg game, like, I know it was very disappointing for some supporters who'd maybe come over from abroad, and it's their only chance to be at Anfield this season to see such a weak side. But from a purely preparation point of view, it's much better that those players were there playing that game, getting that experience, rather than sitting in their arse on a Sunday.
And as you said, I was a bit miffed at the time, but, you know, if Joss is fit, he's probably in that. He's in there. Oxlade-Chamberlain's in there. You're looking at
Curtis Jones, Keita.
Might even have taken a few more risks on the likes of a Nunes, who played half an hour, if there weren't so many other injuries.
I think that's a really good point. The other one you mentioned his name there is Darwin Nunes, Bobby Firmino. I'm absolutely content to see Darwin Núñez used as an impact 30-minute impact sub for the next for the rest of this month if needs be. And he's got off the mark. It's taken the pressure off him in a big way. But I think Liverpool need to preface, particularly in August, getting the points on the board. And I think the dynamism that comes with understanding and what Bobby Firmino brings, for me anyway, is why I feel we'll probably see more minutes on the pitch for Bobby.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Than Darwin Núñez in the next few weeks.
I've always said that I thought Firmino would have a massive part to play at the start of this season, while Núñez sort of came in and, like, you think back to the likes of Robertson and Fabinho when they came in and they took like a couple of months to really get used to the physical demands of playing in a Jurgen Klopp side. And to be honest, I think we could have done the same with Thiago, because I think he took a little while to get used to the pace of the play, and obviously playing a Pep Guardiola side for all his life before that, it was a massive change. But there will be the temptation with the fee and the expectation on Núñez from the supporters, but I think from Klopp's point of view, you'll see this is very much a 6-year plan with Núñez and beyond. You know, it's 6 years until we realistically expect him to be in his prime, and that's a scary proposition given what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
That said, the impact he has on a game when he's playing, and I think we're going to have to get used to with Núñez, like when Firmino is a bad game, he can maybe have half an hour where you literally don't even notice him, or his touch is a little bit off, or he can get, you know, caught in a press or whatever. When Núñez is having a bad game, he's going to be so bad because he's so it's going to be so in your face.
Yeah,
at the same time, you know, that may get people trolling on social media or whatever, but it's better for us that he's always involved.
We have to strap in for this, don't we? We've seen that it's so obviously going to happen. You know, the Darwin Núñez, Erling Haaland battle thing that's already pretty tiresome. Like, it's going to be a thing, and every time he has a game when he has a bad touch or whatever and he doesn't score, it's going to be under extra scrutiny. And that kind of is my point on this. There's no need to rush him in at any point. He will benefit, strikers will benefit from goals and the confidence that goals gives them. Fulham are going to be used to having defending against a big fella who can be a handful. They've got one. He scored loads of goals when they train with him every single week in Mitrovic. So I just think it does benefit Núñez at the moment to be that 30 minutes where it's a bit ragged. Maybe they've decided they've got to go and chase something.
Yep.
Christ, even if we're doing a break glass solution and we just want to change up what we're doing, that's where they feel he's probably most useful. Not to say I wouldn't be absolutely made up to see him start.
No, there's definitely a temptation, isn't there, even from a fan perspective, to just say, go on then. Like, you're boss. You cost X amount of money. Go and do it. But I think in the cold light of day, I think I agree. And I really agree with your point in terms of how the game might pan out. I think there's an argument to say we could have loads of space in the second half, and that's when he'll really thrive, because Bobby's kind of earned that space for him by doing all his brilliant work previously. And I think the same could be said for Harvey Elliott as well. I think when we maybe wrestle control of the match later on, he comes on and we start to dictate, and then Núñez benefits on the back. So there's really good points there. But yeah, it's an interesting one. There is definitely a temptation, but you're dead right. We're going to see the compilations. We're going to see. It's almost going to be make watching him almost half difficult, because you know the minute a touch goes awry or a shot, you just think, oh, I don't want to see that again later. You know what I mean? But we know what we've bought. We know what he's about. He looks absolutely brilliant to me. So give him a bit of time. Let him settle. I think he's going to be brilliant.
I think as well, we've talked a little bit about Firmino versus Núñez in the context of like the first month as a whole. But I think for this specific game, I think Fulham still have that guy Tim Ream at centre half. I'm not sure how many games he's going to play last season, but he played every game last season. He's 34.
Yeah.
He's not having a very good time of it in the American national team. I don't think he was brilliant last season. I could be wrong on that. But if you sort of think about from a game plan point of view, Firmino buzzing around, keeping him moving, and then Núñez to come on and exploit the spaces, exactly the battering ram. Yeah, I think that probably will be what he'd go for, but it must be tempting to go for Núñez.
Yeah, no, I said this, I think it might have been on the podcast, but there's for me, Darwin Núñez is 60-30s, but you can flip it, but it depends on your opponent. And I think there's probably, and this is why Fulham might be, you know, this how they play will be important to this.
because I think there's going to be games where the game will start open and end up really tight and congested and defensive. And in that regard, you need your skillful, wonderful touch visionaries to come in, but they don't need pace, they just need guile. And Harvey Elliott and Firmino come alive in those situations where there's like 10 men behind the ball, 11 men, and you've got small pockets of space to work in. That's when you need your technical lads, but you can soften them up in preparation for that by having your battering ram on for the first 60 minutes. The flip reverse is, like we saw against Manchester City, is when it's going to be an open game, you use your technical players to drive them up the wall and run them down, and then you bring the big fella on at the end when the game opens up a little bit more and he's got loads more space to work in. So yeah, plenty of options there, and again, stuff like that, it could be the plan B we've been clamouring for all the way back to the days of Andy Carroll, and before that when Everton were doing it with Duncan Ferguson, and was going, oh, that looks quite good, just throw a big lad on at the end.
Plan B has never been anything other than a big lad, by the way. It's always
Stephen Coulter, Andy Carroll, Vicky Lambert, any one of them,
100%. Right, it's better made time. It's up to the lads now to pick their team that they think is going to be able to beat me, Chris, and Steve on this one. In fact, Tom, do we have the lads' teams? Cool. Let's have a quick look at what they've done, actually. And while you just get yourselves prepared and ready. So, Steve has gone for Alisson, Trent as his vice, Andy Robertson, Fabinho, Solomon, Mohamed Salah, and Luis Diaz as his side. Chris Page, I'm very happy, Chris Page, out there. Alisson, Trent, Robbo, Thiago, João Palhinha, never heard of him, Salah and Diaz as captain and vice captain up there as well. And then, I've made a huge mistake in putting the injured Harry Wilson in, which I will be rectifying before kickoff. And yeah, I've gone Salah and Trent as my captain and vice captain. So just to spell it out for people, and obviously I'm new to this, despite my practice and my stellar win over the Redmen team last week, a couple of things. So if you think, obviously, you need to be over 18 to be involved for a start, you can get the app by either using the scan of the QR code on screen. If you're on YouTube, you can use the link in the description, or you can get it through your app. I'll give you the code you can use as well in a moment. There's always a winner. There'll be 40 winners from this very first pot. And the rules are, as well as regular goals, assists, clean sheet points, you also get points for tackles and interceptions, so the likes of Fabinho might become more valuable than in regular fantasy. The 7 starters and 4 subs. Squads must have 2 goalkeepers, 1 to start, 1 sub, 3 defenders, 2 start, 1 sub, 3 midfielders, 3 forwards, again 2 start, 1 subs for all of them. Subs are done automatically if someone doesn't start. Your double points for your captain, 1.5 for your vice, and then obviously that goes down the pecking order, so your vice becomes your captain if your captain doesn't play, but there's nothing underneath that. But you can make changes up till the final 5 minutes leading up to it. You can only have a maximum of 6 players from one team, and this is where the challenge comes. This is why I've got an injured Harry Wilson in my team, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll go through that. You've got to have 1 opposition player starting, is basically what that is, and all the stats are powered by Opta. I know one more as well, Betmate are a Liverpool based company, which is one of the reasons why we were so keen to work with them. We love to support local industry and people doing a good thing in and around the city. So yeah, Betmate. Right, lads, feel like you've got your head around all this?
Yeah, good to go.
Good to go. Go on, let's. So is the goalkeeper, are we gonna be brave and go straight for?
It's Alisson.
It has to be an easy one. Yeah. I think it's Alisson. Although, you know, save points coming through with Leno, you know, if he concedes a couple, but no, that's not happening. So. All right, moving on. That's a fair point. Shall we put Leno on the bench then?
Yeah.
He's not even on there yet, because I don't think he's signed yet.
He's not fully signed yet, so maybe we'll keep an eye on that. If you want to add Leno, keep an eye on
it. I'll go Adrian, just in case what we spoke about.
Don't waste Adrian, because you can't have too many Liverpool players. No, you could do that. Look, it's a legitimate
tactic. I'd still be tempted.
Because you're right, actually, that's a good point. If Alisson doesn't make it, it means you will automatically end up, if you've got to have the fulling keeper on your bench.
I'd rather that, personally.
Let's revisit it. Let's go for your two defenders.
I think there's a gang of shithouses there, to be honest. Alisson's going to play. Come on.
So, look, is there any world where you're not picking Trent and Andy Robertson as your defenders?
Yes.
Wow. Explain the world to
me again. You've got Tim Meem.
I think we need to get a Fulham player in our starting 11 somewhere, and the fella at left back, Anthony Robinson's really good year. So I'm just putting the feelers out there.
So you're definitely picking Trent, or you're definitely picking Robbo, or you're picking
Trent.
Let's bang Trent in.
Definitely Trent.
And then you can try and make a case to Dan why you're not putting Andy Robertson in.
This will be good.
so this Fulham
left back.
Well,
Dan's just told me, thanks Mitrovic's shed. So, you know, are we going to put him up front? Who on earth are we going to have in there if we don't have him?
Mine's Jal Palhinha.
Okay.
My Fulham.
Is he not a defensive mid? Well, I suppose then he's got the...
Yeah, he's got a lot of work on interceptions and tackling. And I think with defenders, Fulham are pretty much going to concede. So there's minus points in there. Yeah. I don't think Fulham are going to score. So there's not a lot in it for attackers. A midfield is your middle ground, quite literally.
Should we put Salah in as captain? Because I think that's quite obvious, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah. Is okay. He down as an attacker?
Is he forward? Right, yeah. Okay. Oh, so we need to get him in. Okay. Can we change the captain from it?
The captain once he's in. Yeah.
Signed, okay. Well, there's Salah in there.
So Alisson, Trent and Salah locked in.
Mm.
The other forward, I wonder, is it worth... Because like we both don't think Nunez is probably going to start, but is 30 minutes of Nunez against a tired Fulham more lucrative than 60 minutes of Firmino?
Do you know what? I'm happy with that. Okay. I'll go with that. And he might Nunez also start, so you get
might
the best
also
of both
start,
worlds.
Yeah, as well. Yeah. But you know, you can easily see Nunez coming off the bench and scoring twice in that game.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, okay. So we've two more.
Who's your Liverpool midfielder?
So really, I think we're looking at Fabinho, Henderson and Thiago. Mm-hmm. That'd be my...
Yeah, I think that'll be the starting three. Obviously, there's points for these interceptions and different things.
Do you see Fabinho having much work on, though?
Well, that's true. But then, I suppose, like, pressing high up the pitch, he's always kind of that first one in the midfield going... You really want Palhinha, don't you?
It's going to come to blows as we go through the season.
We did predict this. Yeah. I want Palhinha, and I'd also go for a more creative, probably Thiago.
I think... Probably where I'll give you Palhinha is that the three Liverpool midfielders aren't particularly, you know, they're not going to get loads of goals and assists throughout the season. Probably not in this game, I don't think. So do we really want two Liverpool midfielders or do we need two Liverpool midfielders in there? I'm happy to go with that. And you think Thiago?
I'm happy to be wrong, but I think Thiago. I think he's the most likely.
R.I.P. Anthony Robinson. I'll tell you what, see if he comes up with the goods on Saturday. I'm right on the front of your work. Can't even find him, hold on.
So we'll go with Thiago. Eventually when you're located, there he is, Thiago. Right, and now you need to fill your bench out, so you've got four subs.
And one more
and
defender.
One defender, yeah. So we go Andy Robbo. You can put an extra Fulham player in, because if you use all your Liverpool picks and you're 11, that means you have to fill the bench out with Fulham players.
That's fine. They don't count for points, do they?
No, but if for any reason someone doesn't start, you bring it in.
I think we go Robertson.
I'm Robertson. I'm Robertson.
And then, so we need a keeper on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, we have to go for, I guess, Rodax. It'll be Leno, won't it? So we'll go for that.
Okay.
Is this defender, midfielder, attacker on the bench?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. No questions asked.
Did you get
Robinson?
You got Robinson in there.
Get in.
Okay, yeah. Sell. Okay.
First, I really hope somebody doesn't start here, by the way, so I can get those points.
I love the look of like Dad's like, what's he doing?
I can't believe that. I thought he got Tim Meme in there, to be honest. Henderson.
No,
it has to be Fulham.
So here is the challenge of the game. You've used your allotted amount of Liverpool players for this. So it's about testing your knowledge, a little bit of extra football knowledge of who else is there is going to basically pad your team out.
Pereira had a good loan last season in Brazil.
From Manchester United player?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh no.
I know.
Anthony Knockhart?
Does he play?
Don't mind. Tom Kearney, I don't mind. We're padding it out.
You're padding it out. Come on. Let's just get
it won't be Harry Wilson, we know that.
Well, listen, Dan, given that Andy stole straight in with the last pick, you pick who you want for this one.
Yeah, I like Josh Onimo as well, to be fair, but we'll go... Oh, he's new. I like him. Solomon.
Okay.
And then one more.
Who's our back? Put Mitrovic on the bench?
Yeah.
Be foolish not to, really, wouldn't
you? Yeah,
it
would be really.
Absolutely. Right, and now pick your captain and your vice captain as well. So click on the player.
Salah. And then I think Trent. Captain.
Yeah, agreed.
And then Trent.
Trent vice.
Yeah. Easy.
Locked in.
As easy as that. What do we think on the team that the boys have put up there? I think that's got a very, 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 very strong chance. Right, sounds. Get involved. If you're watching on YouTube, the QR code's on the screen. You can scan it. You can get involved using the link in the description underneath, or you can download it from the App Store. But as mentioned, as well, because you guys are awesome and you're part of the whole Redmen crew and being involved with us, if you use the referral code REDMEN5, so REDMEN, all caps, and the number 5, 5. As you sign up, you will get you can join the £5 Fulham versus Liverpool pot, make a selection, and you'll be credited with a £5 free bet to use at your leisure as well. So yeah, do get involved with all that. We'll be putting the league up and we'll be having a running tally to see how me, Chris and Steve get on against the collective wisdom of our Redmen guests throughout the season. Big. It's huge, big, guys.
Huge.
It's very big indeed. Yeah, obviously, make sure with all of these things that please be gamble aware. If you're under 18, don't get involved with this stuff. And if you've got any issues around things like gambling and stuff, then do stick to it. It's all meant to be a little bit of fun, and it meant to add to the experience, not detract from anything in your life. We're having fun with it. We're going to be getting involved, and hopefully you can get involved with us too as the season progresses. Right, let's pick an actual 11 for the weekend then. If fit... It's Alisson in goal, undoubtedly.
Yep.
It's Andy Robertson at left back, Trent at right back. We'll presume that Konate is going to miss out, and I don't think he'd be risked even if there was a slight doubt. So, no. Virgil and Matip.
Yeah, I think it would have been Matip anyway. I think just to say on that, but yeah, definitely.
Okie dokie. Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson.
Yeah.
Okay. No shout for Naby, maybe, just to get him up and running. No.
I don't think so.
No, I prefer Henderson on the right. Just for what he gives us, I think. You know,
I don't think we've seen enough of Naby anyway in pre-season, to be honest, in terms of minutes. I don't think he's played the minutes required to start this game, quite frankly.
No, it's an interesting point. And then, I guess, is it just, are we just going with the same front three again? So we're going to go Bobby Firmino?
I think so, to start, yeah.
Diaz.
And Salah.
Salah.
Yeah. And on that point, Andy kind of touched on it earlier. I think we'll see quite a lot of that throughout the month, certainly to get Nunes acclimatised, if you like. And what I do think, I think it'll really help Firmino over the long run. I know we had Jota at times last year, but Firmino needs someone who can rotate with him a lot, because the more we get out of Firmino, the better. Similar with Thiago in many ways. If we can get him off the pitch, it's almost as crucial as getting him on it.
Yes.
As ridiculous as that sounds, because he's so integral to what we do in the long run, that getting him off and getting Nunes on and vice versa will be really important.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good shout. Let's have a little look at the other Premier League fixtures of the weekend then, because it is back. Starts Friday night, 8 p.m. kickoff. Crystal Palace host Arsenal. That has got Brentford Arsenal written all over it again. Just like
I
last
swear
season.
That fixture's never been played in daylight, by the way. Crystal Palace Arsenal.
There's a few of them knocking
to believe.
They're all vampires. That's fascinating one, because I've got a really good feeling about Arsenal this season, but they're the kind of team that could probably do with getting a good start just for the vibes, you know, as much as anything else. But obviously, I think they lose the first three games of the season, and they went on a 10-game unbeaten run, I think, that followed it, which is where their season was kind of formed, and then fell off a little bit toward the back end, of course. But I do think they'll be better this season. But Crystal Palace away is we don't really know where they're at. But there's no reason why they can't have an even better season than they had last year as well. What are we thinking?
Yeah, I think Crystal Palace are, like, weirdly one of those teams that seem to be always in bad form, but never in relegation trouble. Yes. Like, I swear they edit the league table But no, it is a horrible game. And, like, Friday night as well, first game of the season, the atmosphere will be that little bit more intense. And especially, I think Palace fans are absolutely brilliant, by the way. I love when they come down to Anfield, because they seem to be the only team that don't do the nonsense about poverty in Liverpool and blah, 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 all that. They just sing about their own team. I remember them giving Gerrard a great reception on his last home game as well. So, you know, I really, really rate their fans. Obviously, I'm not sure, I haven't really seen their transfer business, but they've lost Gallagher from last year, which would be a big blow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how that's going to go for them this season.
I think they've got going for them. Eze's now properly back, properly fit. He's due a good season, I think, as well. They've just got so much. What I noticed about playing against them last season was just they've got a lot of lads who do very similar things, which, like we talk about, like bench options, means that you can kind of carry on doing what you're doing, with the exception being, like, to the point where Ayew and Benteke are starting to stand out as being a little bit different from that, but they can afford to make a few changes and keep going. I think it's going to be really exciting.
I think if Arsenal win that, that's a crucial, crucial win. Away from home, tricky fixture. The type of game Arsenal would seemingly always lose in the first day for the last 20 years, it feels like.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a massive result.
It's interesting how many of those teams who are looking for a good season here, looking for it to be Champions League contenders, all start with trickier ways. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're the half-12 kickoff, second game of the season, half-12 on the Saturday is travelling to Fulham. You're then looking at, obviously, Villa go to Bournemouth. That'll be a good test for Villa early doors to see where they're at. Newcastle versus Forest is like new money versus old money kind of stuff. Yeah. There's an interest in there. I think it's whether, because there's two teams that I think quite likeable in their own way. I think if you're a bit older like us, you know, it's, you remember them being a proper team. Obviously they've been in the wilderness for 20 years, so it's hard to remember that. But I do remember running around me back garden in the 90s being Stan Collymore and Steve Stone and all that kind of stuff, and they were a half decent team. Newcastle, do people loathe Newcastle yet? Probably not. So there's an interesting narrative running there. Tottenham, Southampton, they've probably got on paper probably the best, easiest start to the season.
So.
Really,
I fear, as much as I fear for Southampton, I feel like Southampton are in big trouble this season. Yeah. Right now, I really do.
Yeah, I think if you look at those 3 o'clock fixtures, by the way, like, and I always stream a game at 3 o'clock in the first game of the season just because I'm excited for it. And I think Forest, Newcastle's definitely the one to get on there, like, isn't it?
Leeds host Wolves. Chelsea travel to Everton. Now, Everton, I think are in deep shit this season, like massive deep shit. I don't see anything that they've done. Okay, is it Garner will come back, mm-hmm. and I think that will help the midfield a little bit. But I don't see anything that significantly says they're going to be miles above where they were. But Chelsea are also in a weird, weird place.
Yeah.
If Everton can carry that optimism, you know, and the noise and all the stuff they were generating at the back end of the season, Dan, they could make that a bear pit, which they very rarely do when we expect them to. But they might be able to do that, and that could help Everton.
It'll be difficult to carry it because there's obviously so much riding on the back end of last season. Like, that emotion was very real. Whereas now, clean slate, if you like, it'd be difficult to almost generate that same atmosphere. I'm sure they'll try, they'll have to try. But I agree with you. I think the business they've done doesn't particularly thrill me. If anything, they've got slightly worse, you'd have to say, because they've lost a talisman. I didn't like him, but I think he's massively overrated.
And Calvert-Lewin's injured.
And the Calvert-Lewin thing. Leading up to this game, looking at the fixtures, I thought, with Chelsea being in such a weird place right now, I thought Everton could get something there. That Calvert-Lewin injury might just change by, because Rondon's suspended as well. So they literally have no striker. They have no striker for that.
If they finally got rid of Tosin.
I think they just did this year.
Is still banned for diving, I think. They're still going on about it.
I think for that game, I think what you could see is quite a good game of football, actually. But I think you'll see a false result for one of the teams. I think whoever's going to win that game,
I agree,
is going to get really excited. And I think it's going to be false hope, because I think both are in for a poor season.
I think that's a really good point. That's the half five on the Saturday. 2 p.m. kickoffs on Sunday. Leicester host Brentford. I mean, but people are tipping Brentford to go down. I don't think enough people are talking about how Leicester are a bit shit all of a sudden as well. You know, they're going through a bit of churn, a bit of turmoil, not buying. I think I said this on a couple of places now, but I think Brendan's done all he's going to do with them. They're not getting into the top four. You know, he had two seasons where it was right there for him. If you can't get top four there with the players that he had at the time, I don't see it. They'd have to be a major surprise package. So, I don't know whether this is not going to definitively tell you how the season's going to go, but I think Leicester are going to be shit this season.
There was noises from Brendan Rodgers himself last season about he wasn't particularly pleased as well. And not only that, not only the players in the squad they had, the position they were in to get the top four. If you didn't get it then, that ship's probably sailed, quite frankly, hasn't it? And like you said, they've done no business. James Maddison's linked with a move away. Key player for them. So it's not great down there.
Just random notes and not really related to anything, but having gone over to Thailand for the pre-season game, like, they are doing everything in their power to market that football club over there because of the ownership. But like, the airport, every sports shop in the airport has got a Leicester City set. I was like, LCFC? I was like, the hell's LCFC? Is this some like local side? No, that's the Leicester City section in every sports shop. Never mind, they might need to sell a few more shirts if they're going to drag themselves out of it this season. Man United host Brighton. This has got all the hallmarks of a false Manchester United thing. You know, Ronaldo, if Ronaldo's nowhere near this game, then I think they've got a better chance of winning it than if he's even in the stadium. I think that will detract from it. They'll have a good vibe, good feelings, all the people back in Old Trafford, new manager. But I don't think is it Brighton a good team? Brighton could shock them, I guess.
I think, Brighton are the sort of team, well, you know, there's always a lot of hype over Manchester United. They've obviously got the new manager in, but at the start of every season, ever since Ferguson, there's been hype over it. And a couple of times it's been, like, I think Swansea beat them the first day 1 year. Yeah. And it's always that little exciting, you know, underdog.
Was that a
Michu
game?
I don't think so, no. I think it was the game after it.
Dan James game for them. I think Dan James.
It could have been, actually. Yeah, it could have been. But what I'm saying is, you know, I think it was last year, it was Palace. It's that exciting, you know, pacey team playing good football. And I think Brighton fit into that. And, you know, quietly, Potter's been there quite a while now. he's had a lot of plaudits, but I don't think he finishes very high in the end last season. Obviously, everyone's kind of bunched in the middle. So, you know, that could be interesting there. I think Brighton could get something. And, you know, with Leicester, Rodgers really went for the nuclear option in the middle of last season, didn't really get a reaction. So I think he's a good bet for first manager sacked. But yeah, I think both those games aren't going to be brilliant watches. Get yourself down to Liverpool, women. They're playing Sunday 2 o'clock.
Quality. Sunday 4:30, West Ham host Man City. That is a twat of a game for City to start their campaign with. They'll win, because they will, probably, possibly. But also, I remember us driving back, me, Chris and Tom in the car driving back, and West Ham managed to get the points at the back end of the season. I don't know where West Ham are at. If they can just pick up where they left off, then they could well cause a bit of an upset here, Dan.
100%, yeah. I don't really know where West Ham are at either. They've had a quite quiet window, I suppose. They obviously got Scamacca in from Sassuolo, and they are after more players now. But if they can pick up where they left off, then that's a real... I don't even want to use the word upset, because it's not a massive upset, really. Mm. It's a half a shock on the cards there, which obviously be a perfect start for us if that was to be the case. So let's hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what the good thing about this is one thing about playing early, Andy, in Liverpool. If we can just get that 3 points all tucked up, we can just enjoy the opening weekend of the season. You get to watch Match of the Day on the Saturday. You get to chill out. You get to sit down, watch Super Sunday. And it doesn't matter this early whether City win or not, because it's the first game of the season. Yeah. It's when they keep winning in fucking March when it's so demoralising, or when you put a lead down. There's a good chance here that West Ham might be able to do something. So, you know, we're playing Liverpool on 12:30 are playing for our overriding enjoyment, and City and West Ham have the ability to really cap off a wonderful weekend of football if it goes that way.
Absolutely. And I think it's the first time, it felt like 80% of the games last season, certainly in the first part of the season, Man City played before us. It was always us chasing. Yeah. It was always them putting the pressure on us. And then it actually got to the point where we could actually get a little bit of a head start on them. And we talked about how maybe Klopp and Pep Linders wouldn't be too happy about the fact that we've got a 4-week preseason instead of a 6. They've got pretty much a 2-week preseason, you know, because Pep Guardiola, like kind of Wenger did, remember when Wenger used to always give the players 4 weeks off, and therefore they'd always be playing like basically reserve teams in the first games, they'd always have a poor start to the season. Guardiola has the same sort of principles, and you always see them start the season quite poorly. So I think it's really important, even in the season, the COVID season, where they run away with the league, they're really patchy towards the start of the season. If we'd have put the foot down and got a little bit of a lead up like we do the season, we win the league.
Yeah.
Even last season, there was opportunity.
Liverpool are top until the wheels fall off.
Yeah. They got hammered by Leicester as well in the early doors.
They got beat by Spurs last year.
Yeah.
You know, so if we can really put the foot down on that. I remember last year when we drew 2-2 with Brighton, they lost to Southampton on the same day, and we were still 2 points ahead of them. If we can get that 5-point gap, which it feels like we haven't had in a season where we haven't won the league, that could be crucial.
Yeah, 100% agree on that. Lachill sends a super chat in. £2 says, the quintuple is on, my mates. Yeah, why not?
Started, have we?
Well, yeah, why not? Why not? I did see someone ask me in like one of the comments, obviously trying to be a bit of a snarky prick, was saying, like, oh, after the Charity Shield, when's the parade? And that's May. You know what I mean? That's when you'll see the 50p come out. Yeah. Like,
I mean, City fans paraded it.
They were formidables. Good on them. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing until I was on one of the Lab Bible videos, I think, and the guy Steve mentioned it, and I was like, wow. It was like when I first heard that the Manx called the Juan Mata game Juanfield.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
I heard that. I didn't know that.
Cristanbul, wasn't it?
Yeah, on that
of course, yeah, Cristanbul apparently burned into our psyches. Yeah, but that was definitely a thing. Right, okay, cool. Score prediction, Fulham versus Liverpool. Dan Club, what are you going
3-0
for?
3-0 Liverpool.
3-0 Liverpool?
4-0 Liverpool, just because, why not? Optimism. Yeah. Carvalho to come off the bench and add the fourth late on.
Does he celebrate?
No, he won't.
No, he
won't. Eamon Harvey will be very respectful and nod, but deep down inside, they'll be going, fuck.
I reckon it could be one of those. If you ever see like two players who played for the same club and one scores and he's really like low key, but the others behind
is like Elliot.
Remember,
how will Elliot handle that, by the way? Because he's such a massive Liverpool fan, but he's a nice guy and wants to be respectful. He might burst into flame or something if he has to hide his pride.
I remember there was a game where we played Swansea, and it was John Joe Shelby's first game back. back and he scored and got an assist. And when he scored, he put the hands up and didn't celebrate. When he got an assist, he almost lit a flare on the pitch. Like he was going absolutely mental.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah. It is. It is what it is. I just, I mean, I get it. If you've got the wherewithal to be respectful of that bit, but if you don't not get swept up in the emotion of the game.
First goal for Liverpool, that'd be as well, obviously, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, let's hope. But yeah, let me know your score predictions in the comments. The Start 11 prediction show will be going out later. So make sure you tune in for that one. Leave us your 11s. And of course, do get involved with BetMate as well if you want to and if you can. But yeah, we'll be continuing that throughout their Premier League season. All the batch build-ups for the Premier League, we'll have that on. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to basically proving that I know football better than everyone who comes in this building. Simple as that. Right, gents, thank you so much to Andy, to Dan, to you guys watching or listening at home as well. If you've got more content from us, we've got a whole host of extra shows and podcasts over on Red Men Plus. The Around the League show, hosted by Chloe and by Ross, was doing the season predictions, how they think the whole Premier League is going to pan out. I've just done Journo Insight with Neil Jones, looking into the contract situations of a couple of players, the futures of Nat Phillips, some injury updates and a whole host of other things as well. That show is every week during the season. Get closer to what's going on behind the scenes with the insight from Neil Jones. We've got a debate show where we looked at the winners and losers from Liverpool's squad in pre-season as well, who came out on top and who's got a lot more work to do. That is all streaming right now over on Redmen Plus. And we've got one interview in the diary, massive, next week. I'm not going to go, I don't want to go too heavy on it now in case it comes undone for whatever reason, because, you know, these things can come undone. But honestly, boss time to sign up to Red Men. A world exclusive interview coming up next week. It's me and someone let's just say his name's been mentioned a few times today. Right, tune in for more from us. We're back with the watch along at the weekend. Hope to see you all there. Have a boss brand new Premier League season. We'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
Thank you for tuning in. If you want more Redmen TV content in your life, head over to redmenplus.com and sign up now. You can get access to a whole host of other content, including interviews, documentaries, pre- and post-match content. As well, if you join as a club legend, you will also get perks such as free merch, discount on merch, tickets to live shows, and much, much more. Head over to Redmen Plus now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.